I hesitated to say what I was going to be speaking about. Anyway, this is from a program called The Invaders, and it was popular in the 60s, and it's being shown now. It's one of my favorite programs, actually. I love it. And really, just after it started showing in the 60s, I'd just come out of the New Age movement, and they're very big on UFOs and demonic associations and so on. So it was very familiar to me, and it still is, actually. And of course, it faded away a little bit, but it's right back in the mainstream now as things heat up towards the end and Satan's going around deceiving people as fast as possible, and many people are being deceived. So this is one that really, if you've got particularly younger people who are interested in this kind of thing, in the occult, it's good to pass a copy of this on to them, because they've not been told this, I'm sure. So the aliens are coming, yeah, indeed. This one I just picked up yesterday. It's quite interesting. This is a robot priest. And gender-neutral robot priest. This is from the Times. I'm not making this up. Sometimes they make it up, maybe. Gender-neutral robot priests are going to take on the patriarchy in the church, you see. Well, in the Catholic Church, that's probably no bad thing in some ways, because, of course, there's a lot of problems with their priests molesting children and that, because of the enforced problem that they've got with abstinence. The Times report read, "It could be the Lord's Prayer of the 2020s. Our Father who art in heaven, cathodes be thy brain." This is blasphemy, actually. A Roman Catholic theologian who is a Franciscan sister, it would be, wouldn't it, has claimed that gender-neutral robotic priests could help make the church less patriarchal and tackle its sexual abuse crisis. Well, obeying the word of God would do the trick, actually, because the Bible says that forbidding marriage is a doctrine of demons. So just obeying the Bible would solve that problem fairly rapidly, I think, if priests could live normally a married life. Ilya Delio, who holds a chair in theology at Villanova University in Pennsylvania, said robots could excel in ways that human priests might not. Well, they probably haven't got a lot to beat, but that's my thought, actually. "Take the Catholic Church," he said, "is very male, very patriarchal, and we have this whole sexual abuse crisis. So would I want a robot priest? Maybe." She said robots could be gender neutral with the ability to transcend human divisions. Well, the church in the past, the real church, has managed that without robots, but we're moving on fast, aren't we? Because from E.T. to Gaia, Mother Earth, which is, you know, worshipped by a lot of people, she's a rotten old thing, is Mother, because she does some terrible weather at times and causes destruction and tempests and so on. But they worship her anyway, you see, Gaia, Mother. Earth worship and climate claptrap, end times deception has replaced biblical beliefs for many. End times deception. Faith foundations are under attack. There's been a great falling away from the fundamental truths of Christianity. The very word fundamental has now got a bad reputation in some quarters. People think of Islamic fundamentalists blowing people up, you see. But when it's applied to Christians, all it means is that we believe the fundamental truths of the Word of God. Many churchmen out there deny the most foundational truths of our faith, the virgin birth, the atoning death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. A counterfeit Christianity has much of the church in its grip today. That's why we must be Bereans and be on our guard and not accept 95-99% of the stuff that's sent to us around the internet, because a lot of it is just not checked and is not true and is not valid. There's one creator. It wasn't an ancient alien. It was our Lord. Jesus was the creator. Amen. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Jesus, the last Adam, is a descendant of the first Adam and is vital for the atonement. The Bible stands or falls on this being fact. That explains the media onslaught on this truth, you see. Every night it's on. Is Darwin evolving? I put this in as a bit of light relief. Deception is everywhere. The theory of evolution, it's just a theory, no facts in it whatsoever, destroys the faith of children and neuters the church. Even the Pope, I believe, believes in evolution. But if you believe in this propaganda, then you are a monkey's uncle. If there is no God, if it was somehow we came out of microbes or we were created by aliens, if there's no God, who told Isaiah that the earth was a sphere over 2,000 years before Columbus was born? as we said earlier, our Lord is outside time. Isaiah lived in the 7th century BC. In Isaiah 40:22, he wrote, "It is he, the Lord, who sits above the circle of the earth." From Genesis to Revelation, we've got evidence of a creator outside of time, the Lord of time. Anyway, the DNA discovery, how incredibly complex even a tiny part of DNA is, destroyed the evolution concept. It shattered it. There should be no more belief in evolution. And the more intelligent scientists understand it's impossible, that's why they're turning to other things now, you see. Attenborough's had his day. He's very old anyway, but all this evolution just doesn't hold sway with the modern scientific knowledge we have about DNA. This is what Sir Fred Hoyle, a professor of astronomy, said. "The chance that higher life forms might have emerged via evolution is comparable with the chance that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard might assemble a Boeing 747 from the materials therein. In fact, we're far more complex than an airplane." Evolutionists have no excuse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth, like the BBC, in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Every flower, everything that you see that's natural is made in great complexity, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, David Attenborough. But not wanting to credit God with creation, they look elsewhere. We were saying earlier, tickling ears. Ears are being tickled everywhere. Anywhere, anything will do, anything but God. Every night on several TV channels, researchers are looking at the role of ancient aliens, you see. And Pat started watching it. It drives me crazy, but she watches me and tells me what they say. It's easier to believe that they created us than that God did, you see. They're beginning a lot of publicity, the aliens, a lot more than Christianity is. Will they return? This was on the TV in the last week, by the way. Well, the idea goes, something must come back to sort out the world's problems. Well, someone is. Ancient aliens, the ultimate evidence. The evidence is a joke, actually. But something's out there for sure. The History Channel, why do they call themselves History? It's not history, it's make-believe. It's portraying this almost on a nightly basis. There we are, back to the invaders. This was just science fiction. But there were little particles of truth in it, actually. My New Age boss, who I live full-time with them, or work full-time, about 18 hours a day for them for a year or so, told me that the saucer people would return to take many people off the earth, the troublemakers, those who can't agree with the New World Order, in the end times, before the return of the Christ consciousness, you see, and who has appeared and been reincarnated through the ages in their set of beliefs. He was the Buddha and so forth, you see. He was, anyway, we won't go into that, but they had it all taped. They knew a lot more about end times and the Book of Revelation, the average Christian, even 50 years ago when I was in it. Because there are billions of galaxies, non-believers in God assume that it's mathematically certain that some must have evolved life, you see. The picture is from NASA, and I read this morning in the papers that NASA is sending, and the European Space Agency is also sending, two rovers again to Mars. The last one, that they had a lot of bits of it from just down the road here in the Pistock, and not Pistock, Kinetic, that's what it's called. They actually had a lot of it in there, and they invited the press to go and watch, and of course it went along Mars and fell down a crevasse and bleated, "Help, help, help," and that was the end of it. There wasn't a rescue vessel to send it down. So let's hope they have a better experience this time. But what they're doing, they're going to drill down into the rock of Mars to see if they can find evidence of life, you see. They want to find some evidence that life has evolved. Even if it was 500,000 million billion years ago, that proves that it evolved and it wasn't created. This is what's behind it. Relax, it's your money paying for it. Anyway, we hope for a signal from ET. This is the United Nations. They've got an office for outer space affairs, UNUSA. And its first director was a Malaysian woman astrophysicist called Mazlan Othman. She said, "The search for ETs sustains the hope that someday humankind will receive signals." No, they've been looking at this for years, of course. When we do, We should have in place a coordinated response that takes into account all the sensitivities related to the subject. Under the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, it goes back a long way, the UN office oversees, UN members agreed to protect Earth against contamination by aliens by sterilizing them. They might have some objection to that. Especially if they're much more advanced than us, they might return the compliment. Anyway, she said she urged a more tolerant approach, which was rather nice, but very compassionate, you see. Anyway, here's their Office for Outer Space Affairs. It's in Vienna. Send us a message. So you can send them a message, you see. There we go. If you've seen anything peculiar in space, send them a message. They've got a whole team of people waiting for a message, you see. Oh, well, here we go. They got a message. Greetings, Earthlings. Take me to your ambassador. Could resist that, sorry. You are not alone. Now, this is a... I'm doing it a little bit lightheartedly, but it is serious because the majority believe that aliens exist. This is from a website called YouGov. More than half of the populations of the UK, Germany, and America believe there is intelligent life in the universe. I don't find much around here, but apparently there is some in the universe. I didn't mean in the church, by the way. It's not a fringe belief to think this. It's the mainstream viewpoint across the Western world. YouGov research reveals that majorities, over 50%, believe there are living creatures who can communicate and do not come from Earth. There's an element of truth in that, actually. Myths are being accepted as facts. This was von Daniken, Chariot of the Gods. Much of what he's has long since been debunked, but of course people still believe it. Ancient aliens, that's why they had space helmets on in the drawings, you see, apparently. They didn't, of course. The demonic, this is where we get to the real thing, the demonic visitations are often realistic and part of the New Age idea of many ways to God. The alien ideas are rewriting the past, bypassing God, and also attempting to rewrite ideas about the future. The saucer people will come to remove those standing in the way of Earth worship and much else. We will be re-educated on other planets. They're saying this at psychic fairs, by the way. That will explain the rapture rather neatly, won't it? And quite interesting because the wife of the man I work for, who was one of the masters of Maitreya in his own estimation, his wife invited us to their house. We used to go to their house in Winchester sometimes, Pan and I. This was actually not as long ago as it should have been. And they had a development circle where you sat around and you sort of developed spiritually, you see. And something interesting, she had a word of knowledge as we stood at the door. She just said, she blurted out, and I don't think she knew she said it. She said, oh, hello, Alan and Pat. One day you're going to expose us. And then, oh, hello, Alan and Pat, come on in. I don't think she knew she said it. And Pat said later, yes, that's true. I think we will, from all that we found out and all I saw. Believe me, these people have no close contact with the truth. They've got close contact with other things, but truth is not it. Anyway, so that's that. Here is someone called a superhero theorist. Are myths of ancient astronauts filling the voids left behind in the exodus from the myths of religion? Perhaps the popularity of ancient aliens parallels the decline of traditional religious belief in 21st century America. After all, twice as many Americans believe in ancient aliens visiting humans on Earth than believe in the pure evolution of human life on Earth. Now, I don't believe those statistics, but that's what he wrote. Maybe TV shows about ancient aliens and Hollywood movies about superheroes provide the big cosmic narratives that once belonged almost solely to theology. Think about it. Ancient aliens and superheroes both have superpowers once reserved for gods, prophets, and miracle makers. You see how they're replacing Christianity. Let's look at the truth. This is a very good book, which we got. In fact, I spoke at a conference with Gary Bates in Dallas a few years back. He was absolutely brilliant, and his book is very detailed. It's I can't quote much from it because it's a massive tome, over 440 pages, but he's looked into it and found out a very great deal in very thorough research. He actually runs the American Office of Creation Ministries International. And I summarise some of the things he said. He reveals the links between UFOs, evolution, and the stories of ancient aliens. He says many high-profile people like President Carter have had UFO experiences. I've met numbers of people who've had them. Hypnotism is used sometimes to convince people that they are being abducted, the close encounters of the fourth kind. When true Christians, this has happened in hundreds of cases, think that they are being interfered with by aliens, they often call on the name of Jesus and the beings vanish. So you can tell that they're not real. They're actually, well, they are real in a way, but they're not actually physical. Demonic entities and gullible propagandists are behind this tidal wave of interest in UFOs. And of course, it can also bring in lots of money when your bestseller goes into the Amazon files. Yes, ancient aliens are here. This is some quotes from an article that Pat wrote. It's on our website, thefreepressonline.co.uk, and I recommend that you look it up and read the whole thing, its entirety. This is just a little bit from it. Ancient aliens with their ugly faces, goggle eyes, and sometimes elongated skulls are infesting the airwaves lately, and I'm going to tell the truth about them, who they are, where they come from, and what they're doing here on Earth. They really are here. I wish they weren't, but they've been here a long time, and they have a specific goal. We need to know all this. It's time we knew the truth, although a lot of this will sound preposterous. Our rock of truth is the Bible. With study and good teachers, we can understand the entire picture. How, why, and when the universe was created. What happened in ancient times. How we came to be here, and what is expected of us. The answers to all the ancient alien questions are in the Bible, particularly in the books of Genesis, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. Pride came before Lucifer's fall. The chief and most beautiful angel was Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 tell us about him. He was made partly of jewels. His body parts included musical instruments, as our bodies include our voice box and the ability to sing. With his great beauty and abilities, Lucifer became so proud that he thought he could supplant God and take God's place. Pride. One third of the angels followed him in his foolishness. Revelation 12, verses 3 to 9. Satan always used and is using deception. So the angels were possibly created first before mankind, and one third of them were rotten. Then came the creation week when the sons of God, the good angels, or possibly all the angels, if Satan had not yet sinned, shouted for joy. That's from Job 38, verse 7. In 6 24-hour days, not 6 million years or whatever, God made all that we know as the universe and the world. Genesis 1, right at the beginning. Adam was created from dust on the sixth day and given stewardship over God's world to look after it. Eve was to be Adam's helper. And this is Pat writing, that is still the main role of women today. The identity of the mighty men. Then came the catastrophic fall of man, Genesis 3. Lucifer, who became Satan, tricked Eve into breaking the only rule God gave them. And Adam deliberately joined her in this. Then disaster struck again. Genesis 6 verse 4 tells us some of the fallen angels somehow had relations with human women, and a monstrous race came from them, the Nephilim, the mighty men, or men of renown, Genesis 6. The truth about all this, these spiritual entities, the fallen angels, have been causing havoc ever since. They are at the root of many things that mystify us now. They and their offspring are the ancient aliens. We know who you are, E.T. So we now know who the ancient aliens are, Satan and his minions. They are the so-called extraterrestrials, ETs. And I think that when you actually see representations of them, they're not far short of the mark either. You also used to see it on the heavy metal covers of albums. They were actually demonic, and I know all about that too. They did not seed life on Earth and watch us evolve for billions of years. That is just one of their many lies originating with Satan, who Jesus said was the father of lies. That's why we must be very careful to check what we say and circulate. The ET ETs are Satan and his hordes, the demons. They're organized into principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, from Ephesians 6, verse 12. Superhumans and gods of legend. Well, there must have been something in it. Yes, there was, because they and the Nephilim offspring may well have been the source of many legends of superhuman entities like the so-called gods of Greece, Rome, and India. Genesis 6 also tells us that all flesh was corrupted other than Noah and his family. Some teachers think this may mean that everyone else had some Nephilim DNA and so had to be eliminated, including much of the animal kingdom. The flood wiped them out. The Nephilim were gone. Why did this happen? Because when Adam and Eve sinned and the original creation came under God's curse, God promised a Messiah to come from Eve, Genesis 3:15. It's the first prophecy in the Bible. The seed of the woman, the Messiah, would bruise the serpent, Satan's head. So Satan tried to prevent the Messiah by destroying the human race. His first big attempt in Genesis 6:4 was when the monstrous Nephilim were let loose. God's response was to wipe them out and start again. The flood cleansed the world. There's evidence of it all around the world. The good news about good angels, take heart, because this tends to get a little depressing, but it isn't depressing. There's good news. For every one of the bad angels who are still around, there are at least two good angels standing ready to do God's will at every moment. For some of the bad angels were removed permanently. The ones who fathered the Nephilim were thrown into Tartarus and can no longer bother us. The four compartments of the underworld, or Sheol, deep in the earth, as described in the Bible, are Tartarus, where the fallen angels of Genesis 6 are imprisoned, 2 Peter verses 2-4. Torments, popularly known as hell, where dead people are still conscious and are in agony, including the rich man, that's Luke 16 verse 23. And then there is paradise, or Abraham's bosom, Luke 16, 22, where the spirits of the righteous dead were comfortably waiting until the Messiah, our Lord, descended and took them out of there and up to heaven after the crucifixion. That compartment has been empty ever since. Finally, there's the abyss or bottomless pit where Satan will be chained for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, while our Lord establishes his wondrous kingdom at last and reigns on the earth with his saints. That's when there'll be perfect peace in Israel, which will be a lot bigger. The green religion, earth worship, and so-called climate change are all part of the devil's end times jigsaw. It's all interlinked. The UN accepted the Green Ten Commandments. Climate change will have a major role in ushering in one world government, because they'll say global problems must have global solutions. Whether those problems are real or not won't count a fig, because you won't get the publicity that says they're all rubbish. Remember when we had the millennium bug and everybody was told that it was real? I had, because one of the papers we ran was a business newspaper, and we were getting press release after press release. I've kept a lot of this, by the way, just to prove it. Are you ready for the bug? Get your business ready for the bug. We have pictures of bugs. I put a newspaper out on the day that the new millennium dawned, and we had the millennium bug on the front. We did it as a joke. A little girl dressed up as a bug. This is the only bug you need worry about. And I wrote an editorial about it. So I either got it right or got the sack, you see. So fortunately, I got it right. But I'm just saying that because don't believe all that officialdom tells you is the absolute truth, because a lot of it is factually inaccurate, not even properly researched. Climate change is one thing. The climate's always changed. It's to do with the sun and sunspots and things. Nothing whatsoever to do with chimney smoking or anything else. It's a load of nonsense. That's another story. But global problems, which they're pressing everywhere, will need global solutions. We will get a one world government. This was launched at something called the Love of Earth. We love Mother, you see, in Burlington, Vermont. Stephen Rockefeller was a keynote speaker. The Ark contains the Earth Charter, and he went to the United Nations. The Christian magazine I got this from called it the Ark of Hopelessness. And they said it's set to replace the Ten Commandments. That was the aim of these Earth worshippers. Man decided he could improve on God's word. We'll see. They said, here it is, it's going to replace the Ten Commandments. They're old-fashioned, you see. Again, if you have a knowledge of the occult, you'll see the 5 points of the Wiccan pentagram on this, which I thought was quite significant. Yeah, Satan gives away his hand, as we've said. The Earth Charter is completed and the global religion is not far off. At the UN Millennium Summit, the Earth Charter was adopted in September 2000. It was directed by Mikhail Gorbachev and Maurice Strong. The latter name is quite significant, and reflects universal spiritual values. It serves as a universal code of conduct for world citizens. Even pastors will have to conform to its pantheistic mandates. It is promoted by something called the Earth Council and provides pantheistic religious values to match the future pantheistic world government, whose purpose, allegedly, will be to protect the Earth at all costs. The Earth may include over 4 billion lives, or 5 billion lives now. The Green Ten Commandments, here's some of them. Do not do unto the environment of others what you do not want done to your own environment. Recycle that tin can, you see. My hope is that this charter will be a kind of Ten Commandments, a Sermon on the Mount that provides a guide for human behavior towards the environment in the next century. This is Mikhail Gorbachev, who's actually still taken seriously, I believe. Here's Stonehenge, which I'm sure you're familiar with, where they worship the sun, not the sun, but the sun. America has its own Stonehenge, recreated at formidable cost by an anonymous group of donors. They're called the Georgia Guidestones. They're on Highway 77, 7 miles north of Elberton. They carry a message for preserving mankind. Here's the message. They want a world population of 500 million, so there's an awful lot of people going to be culled, not them, of course, not the VIPs, in perpetual harmony with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. This is a sort of Nazi idea. Unite humanity with a living new language. Seek harmony with the infinite and be not a cancer on the earth. I hear that often, actually. Earth worship has people apologizing to plants. If you think I'm exaggerating, I got this just in the last week. New York's Union, it would be in a theological seminary, of course, where else? Part of Columbia University, they tweeted this. Today in chapel, it must have been a fascinating service, we confessed to plants. Together we held our grief, our joy, our regret and hope, guilt and sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings, the plants, who sustain us, but whose gift we often fail to honor. It's so sad. I crushed a marigold today. I must have apologized to it. Anyway, then they ask for an amen. What do you confess to the plants in your life? I'm not making this up. This is university life and theological seminary life today, this week. We have to say sorry for sins against the earth. The New York Union Theological Seminary isn't the only place where people are apologizing to weeds. On August 31st, this is what the New York Times tweeted. Dr. Monica Gagliano says she's received advice from trees and shrubbery. I hope she's not the sort of doctor that treats patients. I wouldn't want to go to her surgery. She takes advice from the plants around the room. She says an oak tree assured her that a grant application processing research on plants would be successful, communicating with plants. So why not pray to plants and wait for the answers? NBC News have launched an interactive web page called Climate Confessions, saying, tell us, where do you fall short in preventing climate change? Do you blast your air conditioning and throw out half your lunch, grill a steak every week? Share your anonymous confessions with NBC News, categories of sins against Earth. They gave a whole lot of idiotic examples. You know, you didn't recycle enough that week. Oh, brother, you know, it just sort of is almost beyond belief. I don't waste things either. I think we should be good stewards of the earth, by the way. I'm not knocking it in that way, but we shouldn't take it to this level of seriousness. We mustn't worship earth or its creatures, or its creation. Swedish scientists this week suggested we eat each other to combat climate change. It gets worse. And he's a behavioral scientist, Magnus Söderlund. He said, eating other people after they die, they've got to die first, but that may change, of course. A lot of old people here look tasty. he mentioned he's going to combat climate change by eating people. He said the possibility of cannibalism, it came on TV this last week, He's going to speak at a fair in Stockholm regarding food of the future. We need his restaurant, I don't think. It's called the Gastro Summit, about the possibility of food and the future of it. That's where he intends to discuss the possibility of eating people in the name of cutting down greenhouse emissions. And here's the child hero, heroine of our times. A 16-year-old, I'll be as polite as I can about this gormless little girl. A 16-year-old Swedish child, Greta Thunberg, is seen nicely wrapped up against global warming, I couldn't help notice. This little girl is being taken seriously by world leaders. She's a schoolgirl. She knows absolutely diddly squat. She probably couldn't even, and I'm not saying this is true, but from my experience as 16-year-olds, if you gave them a globe, they'd have trouble finding half a dozen nations, let alone anything else. Anyway, US Democrats invited her to testify in Congress how they could save the world. Then the UN followed suit. She spoke to the UN. And following massive publicity, millions of ignorant children staged strikes from school to save the planet. No one is gullible or as easily indoctrinated or influenced as children. It's very unfortunate. That's why the Sunday school is important. Here's some suggested reading for them and David Attenborough and Richard Dawkins. Matthew 18, verse 6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world, Matthew 18, verse 7, because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. And I think I told you one other time, our little 8-year-old granddaughter in Israel, she challenged her teacher who was teaching transgenderism, which has been completely refuted this week by one of the people who came up with it, by the way. That's another story. One of the so-called experts who came up with the theory, it actually went on record this week saying it was a load of hogwash, they just made it up. But everybody's now taking it seriously. It's very easy to get these things rolling, but knocking the ball out of court is another matter. Once they roll, they seem to sort of go on and get a lot more attention. But we're warned about all this deception. The new spirituality is very tolerant. They're all very tolerant of everything except biblical Christianity. That's the danger they see. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14, 12. Its end is the way of death. A lot of people are going to hell because of all this, because of belief in all this nonsense. That's why it's important. That's why I'm talking about it today. It's out there in the world. Because deception, of course, is Satan's main weapon. Since sin entered the world, Satan has been using the same old tricks. Disobedience breaks our communion with God. That's what happened in the fall. The curse came on the world. But these lies still work so well. The deception still works so well. Only when people remain willfully, biblically ignorant and gullible, ready for any deception, ready to listen to 16-year-old earth missionaries and so forth. Nonsense. They should be back in school learning something. The church worldwide needs to have biblical answers and explanations, starting with creation, of course. Millions of people are searching for answers in oddball places. True believers will be separated from the majority of Earth's population in the coming rapture, which is getting quite close, I think. We go up to be with our Lord, not to be abducted by aliens. Around and beyond this event, Satan and his demons will be working flat out as they are, seeking who they can deceive. For deception is the hallmark of the end times. We cannot say that often enough. Satan comes as an angel of light, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, like earth worship, worship of the creature rather than the creator. The Lord is warning this in Luke 21, verse 8. See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. Verse 11, there will be great earthquakes. Earthquakes are increasing exponentially at the moment. And in various places, plagues and famines. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Again, that's starting to happen. Great signs from heaven, many of them deceiving. But all this means our Lord's return is close. The return to earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. That's the end.